Today is Libba-Cotton Day in Carrboro, celebrating local music legend Elizabeth Cotton, born on this day in 1893, 130 years ago. Best known for her song Freight Train, Cotton was a pioneering blues musician who won a Grammy at the age of 90 and was inducted last year into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You can get a link to watch that induction ceremony on our website, chapelboro.com. Head to East Main Street in downtown Carrboro at 9 o'clock this morning. Mayor Damon Siles will read a proclamation at the historical marker honoring Libba-Cotton. State Representatives Alan Boynsey and Renee Price will also be on hand, along with the town's new poet laureate, Liza Wolf Francis. Other local news, the Orange County Sheriff's Office is investigating an unusual theft that occurred last week north of downtown Hillsboro. Somebody made off with 16 doors that were being stored in a garage to use in a construction project. No word how long it took. 16 doors is an odd detail, but officials say construction site thefts in general are not uncommon in Orange County. Contact the Sheriff's Office if you have any information. Turning to health news, both positive and negative developments this week. First, the bad news. State health officials are reporting a big spike in COVID-19 cases with a new variant emerging. Hospitalizations jumped by more than 50% last week alone, up to nearly 1,600. That's North Carolina's highest total since last February, near the peak of the Omicron spike. UNC health officials say they're treating about 320 COVID patients. That's up from 80 just 2 months ago. The good news, UNC Hospitals has finally been able to close its pediatric surge unit now that cases of flu and RSV in children has subsided after a spike in November. Other health news, State Treasury Secretary Dale Folwell has announced that state employees' health coverage will be administered by Aetna starting this year. Aetna won a 3-year contract, beating out the previous provider, Blue Cross Blue Shield. Over to Pittsboro now, where town officials are getting ready for a big decision whom to hire as the next town manager. The process of filling that position is about to extend beyond the tenure of the town's current interim manager. 97.9 The Hill's Andrew Stuckey spoke with town spokesperson Colby Sawyer about that impending hire and some of the other new positions Pittsboro has added in the last year.
Of course, we've added the position of a downtown development director. We've hired our first human resources director. Of course, I came onto the town this year adding that public information and emergency management function. And we are currently working through our hiring process for our town manager. Of course, Chris Kennedy left us this year. Hazen Blodgett came to work with us. Hazen has been wonderful as an interim town manager. So we will not only be hiring a new town manager permanently, but we'll also be currently are in the process of hiring a interim town manager to replace Hazen.
That will be coming up in January. Is that when his term as interim concludes?
Yeah, that is correct. After speaking with him, I think he has enjoyed his time here in Pittsboro. But, of course, he agreed to come to us for a certain amount of time, and we can't begrudge him for wanting to get back and enjoying his retirement.
That's Pittsboro Town spokesperson Colby Sawyer there. You can listen back to the full conversation in the News on the Hill section of our website, chapelboro.com. Now we head to the world of higher education, where colleges across the nation are beginning to rebel against those annual rankings we see every year, most notably U.S. News and World Report, which saw several major universities refuse to participate in this year's law school rankings. So how do our local higher education leaders measure their own growth and success? We found out when UNC and Durham Tech visited our studio in December, as 97.9 The Hill's Brighton McConnell reports.
In November, the Yale and Harvard University law schools shared they would no longer provide internal data to the U.S. News & World Report's rankings. The schools, which were quickly followed by several other top institutions, pointed to how the rankings created a cycle of promoting graduate salaries, whittling down applicant pools, and accepting students based on the likelihood of them boosting their ranking status. It helped spark conversation about where prestige comes from, how schools set up graduates for success, and what the true value of an education can be. Those same conversations took place during 97.9 The Hill's recent Forum on the Hill, as UNC and Durham Technical Community College leaders discussed the local state of higher education. UNC Chancellor Kevin Guskowitz said while his university is among the top-rated schools across many lists, he believes a school's success comes back to how their students do after graduation. He said UNC is exploring different ways to measure that, but that the immediate result of earning a higher education degree is simple enough.
There's a new return on investment study that's being done to look at lifetime earnings. I'm not sure that that's the best measure of success either, but some would suggest that it is. For us, it's making sure that we're bringing in a diverse group of students that can thrive at Carolina, graduate on time. Our graduation rates are among the best in the country.
One of UNC's recent priorities has been improving its diversity and inclusion among the student body. While the campus experience cannot be directly fixed through admissions, Guskowitz said the university's variety of scholarship programs helps bring in students from a wide range of backgrounds. The chancellor also said emphasizing a broader presence and direct relationship with areas a university serves can improve who sees higher education as an option for them.
Every institution can do a better job of getting out and getting in the communities so that you have the applicant pool is more diverse, and that's the starting place. And I'm proud of some of the programs we have, our Project Uplift, our Chancellor Science Scholars Program, the Carolina Covenant Program that we have, that really helps us to use merit as the key factor in that holistic admissions process. But when you have a diverse applicant pool, the odds of all those great things happening become a reality.
UNC's consideration of racial diversity of potential incoming students recently earned national headlines as the university defended its methods at the U.S. Supreme Court. A group of Asian American applicants, represented by an organization aiming to overturn affirmative action legislation, first filed its case in 2014, but oral arguments were held for justices in November. While not directly involved in the lawsuit, Durham Tech president J.B. Buxton said he believes UNC's stance has demonstrated its commitment to diversity. Since the community college has a guaranteed admission program with Carolina, Buxton said Durham Tech is also invested in how the Chapel Hill University works to be inclusive.
In this latest case, I think it was a great reminder for us about why this partnership is so important, because we think we have an institutional partner who does exactly that. They want a student body that looks like this community. We're about 70% non-white at Durham Tech. We want our students going to a place that values their lived experience, whatever their backgrounds are.
Many universities have an additional internal resource to keep tabs on graduates, alumni associations, and donors. While Durham Tech doesn't have a formal group for its alumni, Buxton said the school has been encouraged and inspired by recent examples of graduates giving back once they find success in their fields.
We think we're growing people who feel the community support when they come through the community college, and when they come out, feel like they have to find a way to make an impact and support people the way they were supported. And I'd say that's a hard thing to measure, but that's certainly the kind of graduate we want to produce.
Guskowitz, meanwhile, pointed to UNC's General Alumni Association as one wing of how his institution keeps in touch with its graduates. It offers programs and gatherings for those who may have left the university years ago, but the chancellor pointed to how the program helps recent graduates find stability too.
They played a big role in helping our soon-to-be graduates throughout the pandemic in networking opportunities for students, you know, whether it was business or banking or healthcare or high-tech industries. And so we just have to continue to track that they're proud to come back to their alma mater.
You can listen to the full higher education panel from the 2022 Forum on the Hill by visiting chapelboro.com. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Brighton McConnell.
And finally, condolences to the friends and family of Steve Scroggs, former assistant superintendent at Chapel Hill Carver City Schools. The district announced Scroggs passed away on Tuesday. Time is 6:16 here on 97.9 The Hill. Time now for sports, brought to you this hour by Coldwell Banker, Howard Perry, and Walston. Big night for R.J. Davis as Carolina basketball got back on the winning track last night with an 88-79 win over Wake Forest. Tar Heels were down 6 early in the second half, but shot 60% after halftime and rolled to the 9-point win. Davis ended with 27 points, 22 of those coming in the second half alone. Leaky Black added a career-high 18, and freshman Seth Trimble set his own career best with 11, also holding Wake's leading scorer Tyree Appleby in check as well. After the game, head coach Hubert Davis.
You know, one of the things that we've talked about is that for us to be successful, we just got to dig deeper. You know, it's just, you know, find the joy in how hard it is to be the best that you can be individually and as a team. And it's just going to be difficult at times. You're going to be met with adversity. And so in those times, You have to be connected to the discipline and the details, the things that we talk about and we drill and practice every day. And, you know, with your effort and energy and enthusiasm, you have to dig deeper. And our guys did that, you know, with Pete being injured basically as the game started, and, you know, having guys like Jalen Washington and Justin McCoy get extended time and just step up and be huge. And Seth was fantastic defensively, attacking a basket and scoring. And RJ and Caleb and Leakey. And Wake Forest is such a good basketball team, and this was a really important game for us, and I just was really proud of them.
That's Hubert Davis there. Heels are back in action this Saturday, hosting Notre Dame at 11:30. Carolina could be without Pete Nance for that one. He left the game early with a stiff back yesterday and did not return. No word yet on his timeline for coming back. Carolina women's basketball is in action tonight. Tar Heels down in Florida to face Miami. The Hurricanes are 8-6 on the year. They've struggled, but they're playing well, coming off a road win over Pitt on Sunday and a very narrow defeat at home last week to fifth-ranked Notre Dame. Tip-off time tonight is at 6. We'll have it all for you right here on 97.9 The Hill. In football news, a Tar Heel star has just announced plans to skip his final year of eligibility and turn pro. Senior left tackle Asim Richards earned third-team All-ACC honors this season, his third year as a starter. He's the second Tar Heel offensive lineman to declare for the draft. Other pro football news, former Tar Heel quarterback Sam Howell will get his first career NFL start this weekend. He'll be starting for the Washington Commanders in their season finale Sunday against Dallas. Elsewhere in sports, individual honors for a bunch of Tar Heel stars. In basketball first, where Armando Bacot and Caleb Love are among 25 players on the watch list for the John Wooden Award, which goes to the National Player of the Year. UNC, one of only three schools with multiple players on the list. That's on the men's side. Deja Kelly also made the Wooden Award watch list on the women's side. And in field hockey, Carolina legend Aaron Mattson is a finalist for the Honda Sport Award, which also goes to the National Player of the Year. Mattson's already won that award twice in 2019 and 2020. Meanwhile, UNC women's lacrosse, coming off last year's national title, is favored to repeat again in 2023. UNC checked in at number one in the nation in the Nike USA lacrosse preseason poll released yesterday. Duke is number 11. Carolina's season opens February 11th at home against James Madison. We've also got the schedule for UNC men's lacrosse. Their season opens on the 10th of February at home against Mercer. That schedule features a home game at Keenan Stadium March 4th against Denver. Also highly ranked, UNC women's tennis, number 2 in the ITA preseason rankings, just behind number 1 Texas. Carolina picked up 5 of 12 first place votes. Three other ACC teams in the top 10, NC State is number 3, Duke's number 6, and Virginia is number 7. Virginia is number 1 in the men's tennis preseason rankings. UNC checked in at number 18. And finally, in hockey, the Carolina Hurricanes are back in action tonight, looking to start a new winning streak when they host the Nashville Predators at 7. Get more sports news on our website, chapelboro.com, including the latest on a scandal that's hitting the world of U.S. soccer that has a close connection to UNC.